Reading in verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "Oh, that I was as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when His candle shined upon my head, when by His light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street. The young men saw me and hid themselves. The aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me." Drop down to verse 15. "I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not I searched out. And I brake the jaws of the wicked, and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I will multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand." You know, we demand a lot of things to be fresh, don't we? You know, this time of year, as the gardens are starting to produce, you know, looking forward to those fresh tomatoes out of the garden and the other vegetables and so forth. Nothing beats fresh homemade bread, does it? And there's nothing worse than getting the milk out of the fridge and it coming out in chunks onto your cereal. We like to have things fresh. It's important to us. Krispy Kreme donuts, you know, going by and catching the light on, and oh man, and all that grease and dough and stuff. Yeah, fresh, right? But we want these things fresh, and they're important to us, and we expect it from a lot of things. How about spiritual freshness? Amen. How oftentimes are we satisfied with being stale spiritually? Job here speaks about the influence and respect that he'd had from those around him, and the prosperity that he enjoyed, and the joy of his family and his fellowship with God. His joy through the years as God had built that hedge about him. There's a glory in that freshness. He said that there in verse 20. "My glory was fresh in me." What a special time in Job's life that had been. And so first this morning, let's think about the glory of this freshness, that spiritual renewal that Job enjoyed every day in his life up to a point. His bow renewed in his hand, he said. Didn't have to be restrung, just ready to fire those arrows. He needed not to be strengthened again. There was a fresh zeal and excitement for each and every day and each and every endeavor that he experienced that came his way each day. His ministry, his service was not a drudgery. It was a joy. Amen. As he served his God and ministered to those around him. Go to Psalm 92. We look here at David in Psalm chapter 92. Psalm 92 and verse 1. David says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Verse 9. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the works of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye shall also see my desire on my enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. There's hope for some of us, isn't there? They shall be far and fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. That freshness, that strength renewed, that faith built up and increased, hope growing. David expected that. David desired that. David sought that each and every day. And you think about that, and you go through the Psalms, many of which were written by David himself, and it's all expression of that freshness that he had with God. That joy that he experienced each and every morning. This young man who was anointed in his youth, you think about that. Just probably a teenage boy at the time of when Samuel came to anoint him as king to replace Saul, who had departed from God. Had lost the freshness in his life. Because Saul started out good. But something happened. He lost it. And David, this young boy, is brought and he's to be the next king of the nation of Israel. God chose him. It's clear that he is God's replacement for King Saul. He's got that assurance. But you know, during David's reign, it wasn't all easy. He faced some very difficult and trying times. Granted, some of that was brought upon himself by his own sin. But some of it wasn't. Especially the first years as Saul chased him like a dog trying to kill him. And I forget now, that was probably at least 10 years that he was pursued by Saul. Think about that. For 10 years, you're hiding out. Expecting at any moment somebody coming out of the corner or out of the shadows to kill you. That was David's life. Who had been chosen by God, anointed for that purpose. And the troubles didn't end there. They continued on in his life and difficulties and struggles that he faced. But he encouraged himself in God. He kept fresh. He drew that strength from God each and every day. He expected it. He longed for it. He sought it. There was a freshness in his prayer. As he came before God, and an urgency for the things that he needed, and an expectancy that God would meet those each and every needs. Amen, church? Amen. There was a freshness in that sweet hour of prayer. As he agonized over his sin. And there ought to be in our lives for that and for the lost people around us as well. Freshness. The freshness in God's word. Hungering and a thirsting for it. Look at Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Jeremiah said this, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were, thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Christian, do you hunger for this book like that? Do you hunger for that sweet hour of prayer like that? A freshness in our praise and thanksgiving to God. Not just a glib, oh, praise the Lord anyway. But a truly heartfelt thanksgiving to God. Amen. For who He is. And the fact that I am His. And a freshness in our ministry and spirit and service. Christian, do you have that freshness this morning? There's a glory in that. But too often times, we let ourselves become stale. And I'm as guilty or more as anybody. What a tragedy to lose that. And that's my second point. There's the grief in a loss of that freshness. Go back to Job, but this time go back to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Look at verse 20. Job has just gotten word from the four different messengers about his livestock and his crops and his children all being taken from him, just in one fell swoop like that. And his words of verse 20 of Job chapter 1, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped." That's not easy. Elizabeth was at a meeting at the school this week. The father of this boy that Christy mentioned that was killed in that accident on Monday is a teacher. Is he at Benner? At Benner Elementary School. Somebody Elizabeth works with. And I believe it was the principal stood up in the meeting this week and he said, "I called the family to talk to them, to express our grief with them for what they've experienced." And this is what the teacher who called told the other students or the other teachers in that meeting. He said, "I could not believe how calm that mother was. Her 18-year-old boy just graduated from Grace Prep. Gone. And yet there's a calmness and a peace that passes all understanding." That's what Job had. He worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Chapter 2, verse 10, or verse 9. "Then said his wife unto him," now he's lost his health, "dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not we receive evil?" And all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Job had something here, but he lost it by chapter 29. There's a grief in losing that. Because in chapter 29, everything he said was past tense. And he's remorsing in what he has lost. "My kids are gone. All of this, that was times past when I had that respect, when I had that influence, when people would just, you know, like an E.F. Hutton, when he spoke, everybody listened." And he's lamenting that loss. You know, folks, everything in his life is a vapor. It's gone just like that. Amen. Just like with Job. It was gone. Our freshness ought not to go with it. That ought to be maintained. Yes. At Job chapter 29, it's all gone, and all Job had left was God. And he's not even sure of that. You go through the book of Job, we just studied it not long ago, and he had some serious questions. How fleeting all this is can all be taken in a moment. And if your contentment, if your purpose in life, if your freshness is all tied to the temporal things of this world, that's a pretty shaky foundation, folks. And it'll evaporate just like Job's did. Gone just like that, in a flash. He became stale. And as we study Job, you know, I don't like to criticize Job. I understand what he went, well, I have an idea. I don't really fully understand all that he went through. I haven't experienced anything near that. And that was rough. Yeah, amen. But it's still not an excuse. And you get to the end of Job, and even God criticized Job because he lost his freshness. You know, sometimes we think our lot is worse than everybody else's. Oh, I've got it so bad. And I'm not minimizing what you might be going through. Look, that doesn't make it worse than somebody else. David's lot was pretty bad too. And you really can't compare the two. I mean, you put yourself in either one of their positions and you're going to say, this is awful. I'll take mine. But none of it's an excuse for losing our freshness. Job lost it all. He's sitting there with his friends in dust and ashes. And instead of turning upward, he turned inward. He stopped seeking the fresh anointing from God. He stopped. He lost his joy in service and fellowship. His prayer became a complaint instead of praise. He lost his song. And he lost his delight in comfort in the one who loves him more than any other thing or any other being in all of existence. He lost his freshness. What a tragedy. And it's very likely that there's some of us sitting right here in this room this morning that are in the same situation as Job. You can look back and you say, man, I remember. But this happened. And now. And you've allowed that freshness to be gone from your life. That relationship with the creator of the universe, it's gone. And it's nobody's fault but your own. You let that happen. Well, Satan, oh yeah, there's no question that Satan is involved in trying to steal that from you. But you let him. He doesn't have any power over you that you don't allow him. So don't be blaming him. You open the door. You didn't let the caller ID help you to ignore that call. You lost your freshness. So what do you do? How do we gain it? Look at Psalm 51, verse 10. This is David's psalm of repentance because, look, David messed up bad. Committed adultery and then saw that Bathsheba's husband died in the heat of a battle. Guilty of murder. Nathan came to him. Keep your finger here. Go to 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel chapter 12 first. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Start in verse 1. The Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, and one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, of his own herd, to dress of the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. That's David's assessment. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. It's you, David. This story I'm telling is exactly what you've done. You've got multiple wives. You've got all this wealth. You've got anything that you would want. And you chose to take the wife of one of your most trusted soldiers and go in under her. And then when she became a child, you chose to try to cover that up by seeing that he died in a battle. That man who gave everything for you, Uriah, faithful servant, was willing to die for you, David. And you took her and killed him to cover up your sin. I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives under thy bosom. Gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if it had not been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. I says, I love you, David. Man, I'd give you anything you want. That's what he did with his son Solomon. God said, ask what I shall give thee. And God did. Verse 9, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. Even though David didn't wield the sword, he's guilty of that. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, hast taken his wife to be thy wife, hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house. Because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. He did. His own children rebelled against him. And I will take thy wives from before thine eyes and give them to thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. I mean, that's God speaking through Nathan the prophet directly to David. How'd you like to have somebody come up into your face like that? Here's your sin. And just lay it all out. The things that you thought were secret. And those things which allowed you to lose your freshness. David could have him killed. Nathan's putting his own life in his hands by doing this. David's got the power to have him executed. To further cover up, which he's already done. But he didn't. Verse 13, and David said unto Nathan, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Guilty. I surrender. That's me. I did it. And for both of those sins, there's no provision in the Old Testament law for forgiveness. There's no sacrifice. Both of those sins are punishable by death. Adultery and murder. But God says, you don't have to die, David. I forgive you. Look at Psalm 51. David's Psalm of Repentance. He says this in verse 10. Well, let's back up a little bit. He says, start of verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Oh God, give me that freshness again. Hide thy face from my sin and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David sought it, and God gave it to him when he should have been executed. God forgave him. This is not dealing with the context that we're looking at, but go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. David is described as a man after God's own heart. And this actually took place before the incident which we just read about of his taking Bathsheba and then having Uriah killed. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. He's still being pursued by Saul at this point. So this is much before what we just read there in 2 Samuel. He's not even become king yet. He's been anointed but not become king. But he's already facing all these difficulties, these trials, these struggles. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. So he suffered all this loss, and these two women, his wives were taken, and as well as the wives and all the things destroyed of all of his soldiers and everything. He's distressed, and then it says this, for the people spake of stoning him. Even his own people were against him. David, we've been following you. You led us here. And look at where it's gotten us. We've lost anything. Off with his head. Well, stone him, not off with his head. But he says, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's a pretty dark time. In David's life, that probably equaled Job chapter 2. They want me dead. I've lost everything. God, all I got left is you. That's all I need.
Amen.
David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's all we need, Christian. And that's how you keep your freshness. If a child is taken, if you lose everything in your entire life, you still got him. You've still got a home in heaven. And too often times we're too tied to the things, the temporal things, and we lose sight of what's real and lasting. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Go to Psalm chapter 42. Psalm chapter 42. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That's freshness. God, there's something's shadowing us, shading me from you. God, I want that brightness, that freshness in my life again. Verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where's thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for he shall yet praise thee for the help of his countenance. Well, what have I got to cry and grumble about? Hope in God. Seek that. That which is renewed every day. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 22. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new, on occasion. Every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good to them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Oh, there's that nasty four-letter word, wait. And that's one of the things I think in our society today, and you know, push a button and in 30 seconds you've got a hot meal. You know what? Your relationship with God doesn't work like that. There's times of waiting before God. There's times when our hearts begin to get stale, and it's happened over a period of time. We expect to push a button, quote a couple verses, and bing, fresh again. You need to wait before God. You need to pour out your soul to him. You need to seek him. And in the meantime, trust. God, give that freshness back. God, may just to enjoy your presence once again. We need to seek that. And trust him for it. There's a well-known lawyer. He's a Christian. He had some fairly large real estate holdings. And a great tragedy struck the area and nearly wiped out everything that he owned. This had happened just months after he'd lost a 2-year-old boy to an illness. Struggled with that, but still involved in helping the others around the city get things back on their feet. And many who had not lost near as much as he had, but they lost all. And he worked, and they planned a trip. He planned a trip for his family. And something came up at the last minute, some business matters that he had to attend to, so he sent the family on, his wife and his 4 daughters, and an accident occurred, and they were killed. All 4 girls. Wife survived, but all 4 girls killed. He went on the trip, or got word about what had happened, went to be with his wife, and on the way stopped at the location where the accident had occurred. And at some point, whether at that, I'm not clear on this, at that time or later, sometime later, the comfort of God was real to him. And he penned this poem. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul this morning? That song that's such a blessing to multitudes around this country since the 1800s. Was born in grief about a man who, though he lost so much, retained his freshness and has refreshed many of our hearts as well. Amen. Because though I've lost all, I've still got God. Amen. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, we are so weak. And so oftentimes allow so many things to interfere with our spiritual freshness. So many concerns, whether it be what we do about our building project or difficulties and trials in our lives, some severe, and sometimes just the stupidest little things, God, cause us to become stale. Oh Lord, help us to gain and retain that freshness that you desire for each and every one of us to have. God, may we learn to rest in your precious promises, to seek quickly that sweet hour of prayer, to cast our burdens upon you, that you will sustain us. Oh God, to have that joy in service that you desire for us to have. God, speak to the hearts of your people this day as you know the needs that are in each and every heart, the struggles, the concerns, the fears, the heartaches. the worries, and Lord, especially any that need that freshness renewed today. God, I pray that you'll use my feeble words to speak to each heart. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn to